Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation is part of our gospel lesson for this morning, Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 29. Jesus said to his disciples on the way to the village around Caesarea Philippi, on the way he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptizer, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about what they had seen. This is our text. A number of years ago, actually we could probably say a number of decades ago, there was a popular show on television called The $64,000 Question. When contestants were chosen to participate on the show, they were given a list of categories and they would pick their category that they were most familiar with. They would then be asked questions based on that category. And every time they answered the question correctly, they would win a prize. It rather started rather small with like, I don't know, $24, and it worked its way on up. Every time you answered a question correctly, your winnings would double. Each successive question they were asked in their category, though, would become more and more difficult for them to answer. The contestant could quit anytime in the process and keep the money that he had won. But until they reached $512, they could lose all of their money if they answered the question incorrectly. Now the exciting part came at the $8,000 mark. The contestant would then be put in an isolation booth. And while he was in there, he could only hear the host speaking. He would remain in that isolation booth as long as he answered the questions correctly. And he would work his way up the scale until he reached that final question, the $64,000 question. That was a lot of money back in 1955. Someone said that that's probably worth almost $1 million today. A lot of money was on stake. The show became so popular with people that phrase, "That's a $64,000 question," came to be related to any question or decision you had to make that you felt was extremely difficult for you to answer. That's the kind of question Jesus asked his disciples that day. Actually, as we heard in our gospel, he actually asked them two questions. The purpose of the questions was to get them to begin to understand who he is and why he had come. And as we heard in the end part of our gospel lesson, how he would accomplish his mission. Now the disciples, since they had been called to follow Jesus, had been with him almost constantly since that day. They had heard him preach powerful messages. They had watched him cast out demons. They had seen him walking on water on a storm-tossed lake. Well, they watched as he quieted that violent storm with one word. They saw him heal the sick. He would give sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. They even witnessed him raising Jairus' daughter, that synagogue leader. His 12-year-old daughter had died, and they watched Jesus bring her back to life again. They had seen him on one occasion feed 5,000 men plus women and children. And all he needed was 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. And when everybody had eaten their full, the disciples gathered 12 baskets filled with leftovers. A little while later, he kind of repeated that miracle and fed 4,000 more people, again with just a few small fish and 7 loaves of bread. And again, the disciples gathered together 7 baskets filled of leftovers. That's Mark 1 through 7. Now we get to this 8th chapter in Mark's gospel. And when it starts out, you almost get the sense that, humanly speaking, Jesus seems to be awfully frustrated. He just has this big dialogue with the Pharisees, and they're demanding from him that perform a sign that will show us who you are. In verse 12 of that 8th chapter, we read these words. With a deep sigh within his spirit, he says, "Why does this kind of people always want a sign?" We pick up with verses 13 to 21. Jesus is in a boat with his disciples. And he has been reviewing with them all the things they have heard and seen. And after he goes through the list, he looks at them and he says, "You have eyes. Do you not see? You have ears. But don't you hear?" And then he asks them, "Do you still not understand?" And then as they leave the boat, he performs another miracle of restoring sight to a man who was blind. "Do you not understand? Do you not know who I am? Do you not know why I have come?" The stage is set for the questions. The first question Jesus asks his disciples is just to get them thinking along the right path. And it was also an easier question for them to answer. He didn't want to know what they thought. He only wanted them to tell him what the people were saying about him. So the disciples answered the question, "Jesus, well, some people say you're John the Baptist come back from the dead. Others say you're Elijah, the prophet who would come just before the Messiah. And still others just claim that you're another in the long line of prophets who are to come." Interesting answers. They reveal that the people are holding Jesus in some high regard in the kingdom. But their answers also reveal that they're falling way short of their recognition of who Jesus really is. All three of the answers show us that the people do have some messianic ideas about Jesus. He is someone important in the kingdom of God. No one has ever preached to us like he has. No one does the miracles that he does. He's obviously an extraordinary person with a divine commission of some sort. But their answers, although they have a high opinion of Jesus, fall way short of who he really is. They're not at all willing to admit that he is the promised Messiah. Well, that first question is kind of warm up for the disciples. Because now he now asks them the $64,000 question. "Who do you say that I am?" Remember, the disciples have been with Jesus for quite some time now. And remember, they had been personally there to listen to those words that he was saying. They had seen the miracles with their own eyes. And now he wants to know, do they have the correct understanding? Do they believe who Jesus really is? "Who do you say that I am?" There's no time now for contemplation. No time for consultation. No time for speculation. "Who do you say that I am?" He needs their answer. Peter speaks for the group and says, "You are the Christ." His words are a confession of faith. The disciples have recognized that Jesus is the promised Messiah sent from God. He is the one who has come to save the world from the consequences of sin. He has come to destroy sin, death, and the grave. He has come to break sin's power over us. He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. To answer that $64,000 question with that confession of faith is to win everything. Because by that confession of faith, you have won forgiveness. You have had salvation secured. And for you, heaven is opened. To know, to believe that Jesus is the Christ means that you have been saved. Saved from sin and death, and saved for eternal life. To know and to believe and to confess that Jesus is the Christ secures for you the biggest jackpot ever. Eternal treasures in heaven. Let's go back to that first question for a moment. Jesus asked, "Who do the people say that I am?" What if we ask that question of people today? What kind of answers do you think we would receive from a world of people today? I don't think they would be near the quality of answer that Jesus received back in the first century. At least those people were kind of on the right track. They weren't correct, but they were at least in the ballpark. They at least credited Jesus with some level of divinity. But what if we ask people today, what kind of answers do you think we would get? I don't think they would be near the quality. I think we would get answers like, "Oh, Jesus, yeah, he's a good teacher. He had taught us good lessons on how to live and get along with one another." Others might say, "Oh, he was just a philosopher, a moral philosopher that taught us what he felt was a higher way to live life." Maybe others would admit, "Yeah, he's a good example on how to be a good neighbor to all people." Then I think you would see the answer starting to slip. "Oh, he's a failure. I mean, after all, he ended up dying on a cross." Maybe some would say, "Oh, he's a fool. He certainly wasn't who he claimed to be." And then even deeper down the scale, you would probably find someone saying, "Oh, he's just a handy name to say when you bang your finger with a hammer." If nothing else, those kinds of answers should move us to action. Scripture teaches us that those who don't know who Jesus is are going to die eternally if they don't find out. One of the main reasons we have been called to faith is so that we can tell others who Jesus really is and why he has come and what he has earned for all people. And only those who know that, only those who believe that, can tell them. Look at the world we live in today. It's a sin-filled world. And it's getting more and more sin-filled every day. And the sin of the world is getting bolder and bolder. And sin is becoming more and more acceptable and more accepted as what is good and right. We're in the Lenten season in the church year. The heart of this Lenten season is the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross is that sign to us of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. The cross was God's way of dealing with our sin. The wages of sin is death. And the cross speaks to us of the death of the Lamb of God, the Lamb who was sacrificed for the sins of the world. And the blood of that perfect Lamb who was sacrificed cleanses us from all sins. By the cross, sin is washed away. At the empty tomb, we find the assurance of the forgiveness of all of our sins. It's why God sent his Son. It's why Jesus came to go to Jerusalem, bearing the sins of the world, to become that substitute sacrifice for those sins, so that there could be forgiveness and life and salvation. God did not send his Son into the world to die for the sins of the world so that people could still be sent to hell. People need to know who Jesus is. People need to understand why he came. People need to believe that he is this world's one and only Savior. How important is that? It's important because everyone will one day be asked that second question. Who do you say that I am? And on that day when you are asked, your answer will have to be absolutely correct. Who do you say that I am? The Son of God will be waiting for an answer. You will not be able to escape it. His question will be answered. There will be no time left for theological word games. There will not be time for meditation or contemplation or consultation or speculation. There is only one answer to that question. You are the Christ. You are the promised Savior of all people. My fellow disciples, remember the sin-filled condition of our world. Remember the consequences of a sin-filled life. Remember the story of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that by that cross, God has made it possible for all people to be saved. We, the church with a capital C, really need to get busy with the one mission God has given to us. During this Lenten season, invite someone to come and see. Come and see during these weeks of Lent God at work. Come and see Jesus, the Lamb of God, carrying the sins of the world to the cross, all of your sins and all of my sins. Come and see the sacrifice of the perfect Lamb for those sins. And then come and see the empty tomb and be assured that God has forgiven you all your sins. During these weeks of Lent and on into Easter, come and see. Come and see the depth of God's love for you, even while you were yet a sinner. Come and see here in God's house, because this is the only place where you can find true love and peace and joy and forgiveness. Here is where you will find the answer to that second question. Who do you say that I am? You are Jesus, my Savior, the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who has saved me from sin and death and saved me for eternal life. The $64,000 question. Who do you say that I am? Let's all stand and make a bold answer to that question and a bold confession of our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed printed in your bulletin, and after we make that confession, to join in singing hymn number 100.